Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Have you been out to the Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic yet? First of all, I hope you haven't. I hope you haven't had anything like a laceration or a dislocation or a sprain or a strain or a fracture or something like that. But if you have, these are the places to go. They have locations in Brookfield and Maguanago and Pewaukee, and they are faster and easier and less expensive than the ER or urgent care. Did you hear what I just said? Faster, easier, and less expensive than the ER or urgent care? That's why you need to check out our friends over at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic. All of the physicians are fellowship trained in specialty orthopedics. They are board certified and they are board eligible. They have advanced training in their respective fields. And the people I have talked to that have actually gone out to the Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin ASAP clinics say it really works. And it took the load off of whatever it was that they were dealing with. There is physical therapy, MRI, and outpatient surgical procedures as well. There is a difference when you go to Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinics. We are efforting Adam Schefter this morning, who is going to join us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does each and every Wednesday. And Gabe, I imagine Adam has been pretty locked into the draft lately based on his social media activity.
He's getting ready. He's all fired up. He's getting ready to head to Detroit. I know they've been talking about what's going to happen at 3, Drake May, the Patriots, who's going to be moving up. And that's Adam's area of expertise, right? The teams that are going to be moving in the draft, that's the info he's got. And I mean, after the first two picks, things could get wild very early in the draft in 8 days. Hard to believe we're only 8 days away.
We haven't even picked your brain on that whole quarterback situation. Are you anticipating Drake May going top five?
I'm anticipating four quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, which is stupid.
Wow.
I think the best player in the draft is probably Harrison from Ohio State. Because, you know, out of those four quarterbacks, just from recent history, not even recent history, just from history, two of them are going to stink. And you're going to lose out, and I think, on a Hall of Fame player. And that might be a little premature to say, but I think he is going to be a dominant player in the NFL. And, I mean, I don't know. I would take him, I think, if I had even two or three, I would probably grab him.
We now have Adam Schefter joining us this morning. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today?
How are your draft preps going?
You know, it's funny. This morning, again, you're trying to get through some work and do some things, and the phone keeps ringing, and it's various people around the league with various teams, and you're having conversations, and there's more and more stuff. And all I can tell you is that this stuff never goes as you think it will, and there's always little curveballs that come along and things that change, and it'll happen again this year. You'll see.
What a tease. Wait, Chewy just said that he thinks that...
Jen, I'm just trying to drive ratings for ABC and ESPN next Thursday night.
We appreciate that. I'm sure there will be a lot of people tuning in as they're curious as to what the Packers are going to do. Chewy just said he wouldn't be surprised if it goes 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks in this year's draft. Would that surprise you?
Well, I don't know that that's exactly how it's going to play. It might. Listen, here's the deal. We've got teams at 1, 2, 3 that want quarterbacks. We've got teams at 11, 12, 13 that need quarterbacks. You got the Giants at 6 in the middle that may or may not be going quarterback. Like, there's a lot of evidence that points to them going quarterback. And so that's 7 teams in the first 13 picks that have some type of quarterback question. Not to mention anybody else that feels like it loves one of these guys that wants to go get one of them. So does that mean 1, 2, 3, 4 or 1, 2, 3, 6 and 11? Does it, like, what does it mean? It means that there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that go, in the first half of this draft is what I would say is going to mean. Okay. So I don't know exactly how much, but it's going to be interesting.
Adam, there seems to be a lot of writers in Wisconsin that love Cooper DeJean out of Iowa and think he will wind up with the Packers. Will he make it to 25, or are they going to have to trade up to get him?
I don't know that he's going to make it to 25. It's going to be really close. Here's the thing. Again, what could be working in their favor? If it goes the way I think it's going to go, which is that all these teams want quarterbacks, that's going to push a couple of guys. If you get six quarterbacks in the top 20, 21 picks, roughly, now all of a sudden you're talking about an extra guy or two sliding down. And that could be the difference in Cooper DeJean making it to Green Bay or not, if that's the guy that they want. You know, obviously Packers fans want him, and that would be a popular pick. We'll see if it happens. But with every quarterback that goes, the chances of DeJean making it to you are that much greater.
Adam, you mentioned the Giants, and they're a fascinating case study for me because I think across the league, teams are more willing to give up on quarterbacks now than they maybe were in the past. I think of Josh Rosen when they moved, you know, the Cardinals moved on from him when they ended up drafting Kyler Murray. We see the Broncos just willing to eat an unbelievable amount of money to move on from Russell Wilson. Is that because the cap continues to go up and these teams are comfortable kind of eating some of that cap? And is that going to be a trend that continues going forward?
You know what I think it is? I think it's that, and it's a good question, and I would say this to you. It used to be that teams took quarterbacks and they stuck with them, and that was it, and they would ride it out for a while. I think when you saw the Rams, I think it was 2016, trade up for Jared Goff at one, and the Eagles trade up for Carson Wentz at two. Was that 2016? I think it was. It was the last time the Rams had a first-round draft pick. And subsequently, they both gave up hauls to move up to their spots to get those guys. And they both moved off them and won Super Bowls. Both teams. So when both teams show that you can give up the farm to get a quarterback, move off them, and still win, other teams, it gives other teams an out to say, oh, I know we drafted Josh Rosen. Oh, I know we drafted Sam Darnold. Oh, I know we drafted this particular quarterback, but we're moving on now, and we're going to try to win without him. And I think it's become a little bit more acceptable because teams have won doing it. And so when other teams have won doing it, it gives teams justification to go ahead and do it.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does each and every Wednesday throughout the year as we head into the NFL draft this weekend. All right, Adam, I was reading a fascinating article from our friends over at The Athletic. They were talking about how NFL teams know how they should draft based on the metrics, based on the research, based on academic papers that have said the more picks you have, the more bites at the apple, if you will, the better chance you have of landing players who will help your team have success. And yet, the human element of getting infatuated with a guy, it remains. There are GMs, there are scouts who just see a guy, love a guy, whether it's his measurables, whether it's how he pops off the page or pops off the screen. And even though there might be reasons not to draft that guy, whether it be injuries or character and things like that, they still think that they will be the organization that can make it work. In your experiences, how often is that really coming into a play? Like a guy who they fall in love with a guy. They used Johnny Manziel as the example in one of these academic papers when Johnny Manziel was drafted to the league.
Well, what's the question?
How often do you think that's happening? That the human. So the idea is you have these metrics, you have the information
that says you should
trade down and get more picks for what you have. And yet a lot of guys, they're reluctant to do that. They're resistant to do that because this idea of having a high pick and going out and getting a guy, even if it might not be the perfect fit, they've fallen in love with the talent. They've fallen in love with the guy, and the human element of it forces them away from what the research and the analytics say.
You know, here's what I would say to answer that, Jen, and I'm not as smart enough to figure out analytics and metrics and things like that. But what I would say is, you know, I am fortunate enough to be able to talk to a lot of these teams, and I'm like, hey, how do you see these quarterbacks? How do you see these wide receivers? And it's unbelievable to me that I could talk to one GM who says, God, this Caleb Williams is the best. And I could talk to another GM that says, I got Caleb Williams as the third-rated quarterback. Or I could talk to a head coach that loves Drake May. And I could talk to a head coach who loves Michael Penix. Like, it's sort of like walking into a bar. Why? How is it that people wind up with certain people? Like, someone's drawn to somebody else. And it's the same thing in this process. Like, there are coaches drawn to players and GMs drawn to certain other players, and coaches don't always see it the same. And I just think that's kind of the way that it is, as much as it is the analytics and metrics of the situation. That's a part of it that helps these people make their decisions. But ultimately, it's the eye test. You know, it's what the heart tells you, and you follow your gut and your instinct, and you move forward that way and make what you believe is the best decision. Whether that's a guy that you see something, hey, maybe this guy didn't have the production. Who's the guy from Baltimore that they drafted that had no sacks at Penn State? Adolphe, however you pronounce the guy's last name. I can't even do it, right? But he didn't have any sacks in college, and he was still a first-round draft pick. Well, they see something that they can change, you know, that they've identified. And sometimes they're right. And the Cleveland Browns say, yes, we know that Johnny Manziel may be too short, but we think in this system, like everybody on draft day, oh, you know, we love this guy and he fits. And, you know, it's all going to be hunky-dory. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not.
Adam, do you have to sift through smoke screens like player personnel saying, hey, call Adam up and tell him we're thinking about taking a kicker with the third pick?
No,
they don't use you in instances like that. Just throw a
I love
smoke
how we use his kicker
like
as
that.
The third pick as the example.
What was your first clue, Chew? Was it the specialist in
they
the
don't? Well,
here's the thing, Chewy. Here's the thing. And maybe I'm being naive, and tell me if I am. But again, I've been doing this for 35 years. And I think I'm past the point. Like, the people that I'm talking with, these are relationships that go back years. So I don't think that somebody that I'm talking to all of a sudden is going to lie to me. Or, you know, a team calls me and says, we're thinking of going kicker three, and then they don't. Like, you wouldn't do that. It's like, you know what it'd be like? It would be the equivalent of somebody telling me, hey, here's a piece of information. You can't say anything. Don't say anything to anybody. And then I do. Well, if I use that information and go against that person's wish, now I've gone against what that person requested. Those people talk. Just like this GM called me and told me he's going kicker at three, and I reported that they were going kicker at three, and it wasn't it. Like, what happened there? Now, again, you can never – I just don't believe that people lie to me. I think that there are many times – they just are not fully forthcoming. They're not going to say, like, I'm talking to teams, and the Packers aren't going to say to me, oh, yeah, well, here's the number one guy on our board, and here's the second guy. If we don't get that, they're not telling me that. They're just not going to. But we can have a conversation about various prospects, about what's going on in the draft around them, but they're not going to lie to me. You know, if I could be on the phone with a team that has quarterbacks, I mean, you know, they're very supportive. Some teams will just tell you everything, and they trust
coaches,
that you're not going to say anything.
But coaches do lie, Adam. And I told my son when he got in the business of coaching, I said, first thing you better do is learn how to lie. Because they do. They lie flat out. When they recruit you in college, they lie to you. That's just part of what they do. And if you want to call it misspeaking or whatever, they flat out lie.
Listen, that's up to people. That's... I operate my life where I wouldn't lie to somebody, and I would hope that I would be dealing with coaches. I understand what you're saying. I don't think every coach has to lie. I don't think that they have to lie. I think it's better for a coach to be flat honest. Now, you can't say everything. You can't say to a player, you know, I don't think you're very good. You're not going to say it like that, but you can say, hey, Chewy deserves this job. He's been better today than Gabe. You could say that. You know, but I I personally, I don't like lying. And I think there are ways to do your job without lying. That's me. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm naive. I just don't think that that's necessary. You can be honest. You don't always have to be fully forthcoming, whether it's as a coach, as a reporter, as a talk show, whatever. In life, I wouldn't lie. I just wouldn't lie. That's me.
Only 13 prospects heading to the draft next week, Adam. It seems like that number has gone down more and more every year. Yet yep. The NFL draft keeps going, yep. You know, more and more popular. Why do you think there's only 13?
Well, I thought you were going to a different spot. And it's an interesting spot because the draft is in Green Bay next year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there are more and more people, I think, who are just saying, you know what? Why am I going to give up the biggest night of my football life and give it to the NFL when I want to be with my friends and family in my hometown or at my high school or with my college friends? Why am I giving that up? And to me, I don't know as much as I should about it, so maybe I'm talking out of turn, but to me, the NFL is going to have to get to a spot where they're paying these players to attend the draft. And if they're not getting paid, they're not going. Like, just not going to happen. And so this year, attendance was down. People didn't want to go to Detroit. So what's going to happen next year when it's even more difficult to get to Green Bay and they have to go on connecting flights and the hotel arrangements aren't quite the same that they are in Detroit? What's going to happen? You think that they're going to be more than 13 players next year? I don't. I think it'll be less unless the league takes a form of action where it says, hey, you know what? We're going to pay these guys. This is part of a major TV production with major ratings, with major television contracts. And these guys are some of the central actors involved in addition to what the networks are doing. So I don't know. I think that the numbers have dropped because I think there's a business element to this now. And I think the only way to address that business element is to address it in a business way. And we'll see what happens here coming, because it started out where it used to be. I remember I've been covering the draft since 1990. It started out there were a few guys that would go to the draft, three, mm-hmm. four, five, six guys. And then it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And now it seems like it's going the other way, back the other way. And by the way, these guys in college, they're used to getting paid now. They're used to getting paid NIL money. They're used to doing commercials. So now after they've been making money to show up and to make appearances, now you're saying, give us the best night of your football life, and we're not paying you. What are you doing? We're going to fly your family. And no, your family, and you get a hotel room and flights. And I got to go to Detroit for a couple of days. Why do I want to do that for? And do, like, it's work.
Well, especially, Adam, especially now when you can put a camera anywhere, right? So you can be like some of the guys that Green Bay had in your hometown, yeah, with all of your friends, the people who got you there, the people who supported you along the way. You can have a camera there. And, oh, by the way, I covered Dwayne Haskins' draft party, RIP, several years ago. He's got that big Panini sign behind him. You don't think Panini is paying him to be at his draft party? He was getting some cash, and he's not alone. A lot of guys go that route, but they get cash to have sponsors at their own hometown draft parties. And so you're right. Until the league starts making it a little more equitable in that space, I wouldn't be surprised if this trend continues either.
Yeah, that's where it's going. And again, with it being a little bit more challenging to get to Green Bay, with there being less regular flights to get to Green Bay, that trend isn't going the other way next year. Sorry, unless the NFL addresses it.
All right. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a very, very good weekend. Enjoy the draft. I know you'll be very busy. Can you get a little sleep before, you know,
yeah,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Can you get a little more sleep?
You know, I actually got a call last night and from a GM, and he's like, I'm sorry, you know, I missed the call. I woke up and at 1 a.m, I missed his call, and he's like, I'm sorry I called you late. He's like, I lost track of time. I'm like, Pollard, like, call me three. I don't care. Like, call me. Like, sometimes I just fall asleep. You know, like, that happens. I'm allowed to fall asleep.
Sometimes I fall asleep. Most of the time he doesn't. But sometimes Adam falls asleep,
we
guys.
We have breaking news on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter sleeps.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
All right, Adam. We'll talk to you again soon, man. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you from Detroit.
Our friend Adam Schefter, each and every week, brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. And your total experience at the Island Resort and Casino includes two. Yeah, that's right. Two championship golf courses. Both are fun to play. I've played them the last couple of years. Stay and play packages are now available, but you need to book early to guarantee some of those choice dates. For complete information, visit islandresortgolf.com today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow
like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.